this week, October 21st, 2014, on The Digital Story. Mac OS X Yosemite for photographers. Shooting fall color. iPhone digital back for older Hasselblads. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Happy to have you here with me. I'm back from the Eastern Sierra, and I have lots to talk about today. We'll do a beefy weekly update. Yeah, there's some heavy-duty stuff in there. And then we'll get into macOS 10 Yosemite, which is now out and about in the wild. We're going to talk a little bit about fall color, of course. And I'm going to talk about this wacky accessory for older Hasselblads that allow you to use your iPhone as a digitizer. Really nutty stuff, but fun. And I tested it last week, and I have something to talk about there. And then new stuff from Red River Paper and Sizzlepix, a new surface from Red River Paper, so I'm pretty jazzed about that. So lots to do, and I'm going to get going right now with the weekly update. Adobe provides detailed instructions for migrating from Aperture to Lightroom. So this is kind of an interesting story. Adobe developed a plugin so the Aperture users could migrate. I was going to say easily migrate, but let's just stick with migrate right now. From Aperture to Lightroom using this plugin. And it rolled out, and I guess there started to be some confusion around how to use it. So then they augmented their post with more instructions on how to use it. The link that I've posted in the show notes is to the F-stopper story on the follow-up, but it has everything. So it takes you to where you can get the plugin, has the more detailed instructions. It's a whole ball of wax. Now, just to save you the trouble, in case you go over there and you're disappointed by what happens and what doesn't happen with this plugin, it works basically like this, that you can migrate your photos with most of the metadata, things like star ratings and keywords and all that, will come over from Aperture to your Lightroom catalog. And in fact, the plugin even helps maintain some of the hierarchy, some of the structure of the images. Now, what you don't get, and this is a biggie, this is a big gotcha, what you don't get are your image adjustments from Aperture. So you can bring the photos over, you can bring over the metadata, you can even more or less emulate the structure of your Aperture library, but you're not going to get those image adjustments, and that's the thing that you're going to need to figure out. What do I do with that? How do I do that? Do I go ahead and export the baked images and then, you know, bring them into Lightroom? It's a big question, right? And it's kind of a big headache. Now, it's a headache that I'm not going to be dealing with because, at least at the moment, I'm not exporting anything out of Aperture. And I'm going to take a look at the Photos app that comes out in early 2015. Now, a story that's later in this podcast talks about Yosemite, which, you know, kind of gives us a preview of things to come in this area. But Aperture and iPhoto both run fantastic on Yosemite. There's no reason at all to put yourself through this hell of migrating right now, unless you wanted to go to Lightroom anyway. Then that's a different story. If you want to go to Lightroom anyway, then have at it. If you're doing it out of fear, though, because you're afraid that Aperture and iPhoto won't run right on Yosemite or that Photos app is going to be terrible or whatever, I would wait. I would wait because I just think you're going to create a lot more work for yourself than you probably want to do. Okay, in other news, the iMac with Retina 5K display is available, and this is crazy. So this was, I thought, one of the cool announcements from last week from Apple, where it's not a 4K display, it's a 5K display, and they even show, the resolution. You know, I love this thing. They do this with camera sensors too, where they show one square for one size camera sensor, and then the next square, and they show relatively, how these things stack up. Well, Apple did the same thing with the displays. So they had, the HD square, which now is like a little tiny thing. And then they had the 4K square, which dwarfed the HD square. And then they had the 5K square. These all represent the display and pixels and all that. That really was substantially bigger than the 4K display. And kind of the amazing thing is that the iMac that has this 5K Retina display starts at $2,500, is actually a tolerable price for this type of machine. If I had the spare coin right now, I would love to do that myself. It's not in the budget at the moment. Who knows? Maybe a couple big jobs will fall out of the sky and I can get one. And the link that I have in the show notes is to apple.com. It'll take you right to the page on the iMac with Retina 5K display. It looks like a beauty, and I thought it was a great move by them to design and offer this machine to us. And finally, Flickr updates their mobile app for iOS so that it is awesome on an iPad. So Flickr version 3.2 is available right now. And in fact, if you had Flickr on your iPad already, it probably automatically updated. And if you haven't opened it recently, and I can see why you haven't if you're an iPad user, because prior to 3.2, it wasn't a great experience at all. You're just going, wow, this is one of the premier photo sharing sites, and this is what they're giving me on the iPad. Well, they fixed all of that. It is absolutely beautiful on the iPad now. And all you got to do is open it if you already have it, and you'll have the new version. They added an organize feature that's very easy to use. The thing that I really noticed with this current version, 3.2, is that it's fun to browse other people's photos again. The people that you're following. I found myself following people every day on Instagram on my iPhone because it's enjoyable. I like seeing what they're doing, and it's easy to use on the iPhone. It looks good. Whereas Flickr, browsing other people's stuff on Flickr on the iPhone, I still don't like it as much. And I didn't like Flickr on the iPad at all. But what I discovered is that with this new version of the app, browsing people I follow in Flickr on the iPad is fun. So, now I have the Instagram thing on my iPhone that I enjoy, and now I'm hitting Flickr all the time and looking at stuff from the folks that I follow because it looks good and it feels right. A lot of people, when I posted the story, I think over the weekend originally on the digital story, a lot of people go, well, iPad's been out forever and they're just not, they're just now getting around to doing this. What's wrong with them? I tell you, as someone who has authored Essential Training for Flickr for lynda.com and have had to go into the studio over and over again to update it and still having parts of it outdated right now because they keep changing so many things, I don't think there's a lack of commitment with the new Yahoo team to Flickr. I just think that it takes a while to get to all these different things that, they've had a long list of things to work on. I mean, they were really behind the eight ball there for a while. And obviously they decided that this was something that could wait a little bit until they get the iPhone squared away and the web interface for computers squared away. They did get to it, and it is terrific, and I'm very happy about it. And if, like I said, if you use Flickr at all, or if you haven't used it for a while and want to revisit it on the iPad, I think you'll like what you see. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number two, Mac OS X Yosemite for photographers. So we have Yosemite now, and I believe it's Mac OS X 10.10. I have to say, just, you know, right off the top, this is probably one of my favorite versions of Mac OS X ever. I really like this update. I held off on updating until they actually released it. I didn't do the beta program. I didn't try to, you know, get anything early, any of that sort of stuff. In part because I was really busy with other stuff, and in part because I had heard that a lot of developers really liked what Apple was doing with this version, and I really wanted to see it in its full glory. So I held off until the official release, and as it turns out, I'm really, really glad I did, because it is very impressive when you first load it up. The first thing you're going to hear about it from most folks is the look itself. They have gone through and very meticulously changed the overall look, the icons. I mean, they have just really paid attention to all the details on this, on the way it behaves, user interface. And it's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. I love looking at it. I love looking at the dock and the icons and the folders and everything. And it's very pleasurable, and as a photographer especially, and since I do so much photo work on the Mac, it just now feels, you know, more consistent with, you know, me looking at pictures and all that sort of stuff. So they absolutely did a nice job with that. Now, when we're getting into some of the features itself for photographers, there are a few goodies here. And one of them that I think is helpful is that AirDrop between iOS device and your Mac running Yosemite now works well. Now, you want to be current on everything, and what I recommend is that you have iOS 8.1 on your mobile devices and that you have Yosemite running on your Mac. It's nice. You can send photos from the Mac to your mobile device. I was testing it with the iPad using AirDrop. I just turn it on so everyone can see everyone. And then I've gone the other way too, where I'm sending stuff from the iPad to the Mac. And the one thing that might throw you on that is that when the photos come over, they go into the downloads folder by default. So you might be expecting to see them on the desktop or something. They'll go into the downloads folder. If you go over there, you should see them. And it's pretty intuitive to use, but you probably want to play around with it for a few minutes. For instance, on the iPad, you're in the share mode with your photos, so you kind of check mark the ones that you want to share. And then you enable, you know, you choose AirDrop, you enable, and you turn on AirDrop on your Mac. And then, you know, you have to kind of click, you know, get an AirDrop icon, you know, the person or your Mac shows up there on the screen, and you click on it with the photos checked, and then you'll see a little activity, a little the action around the circle there, and you'll know that they're transferring. And then go over to your Mac and look in the downloads folder, and they should be there. So now, not only can we easily move images between iOS devices, we can move them between our iOS devices and our Mac. And I think that's a good cleanup. That was something that just seemed like we should be able to do before and couldn't, and now we can, and I'm happy about that. iCloud Drive, this is another interesting thing with Yosemite. And, you know, we're just really kind of seeing the early stages of it. I'll talk a little bit more about what I think is in the future. But as it stands right now, it's very smart. It feels a lot like Dropbox in the sense that now you have iCloud Drive as an option, you know, on the sidebar there, along with all of your other folders and so forth that you've designated as your important ones. And you can just drag and drop images, you know, from the Finder right into your iCloud Drive folder. And there they are. They're in your iCloud account. And other Macs running Yosemite can get to them. I just created a new folder in iCloud Drive called My Photos. There are default folders in there already for pages and numbers and preview the apps that are iCloud Drive compatible. But you can create your own folders also. So I created one for, you know, my photos. Then you can access them on other Macs that have iCloud Drive running. Now, the thing that you can't do right now is see those folders per se, the ones that you create on an iOS device. You can get to iCloud Drive on an iOS device, but typically it's through Pages, Numbers, those apps that have pre-established folders on the drive already. And you can get in and out of them from your Mac or from your iOS device that way. But the independent folders that you set up, not quite yet. I think we're going to definitely see some more flexibility down the road. I think it's a little early yet. But at any rate, it's a nice little quick backup system that you can do. But right now, it's worth kind of getting to know and, you know, playing with a bit. Another thing that we have as photographers, updates for both Aperture and iPhoto to be compatible with macOS 10 Yosemite. These feel good. You know, I think they went maybe not the extra mile on these updates, but certainly a few extra blocks. And what I mean by that is that both apps are running very well on Yosemite after the upgrade. The look is consistent with the rest of the interface. They feel good. I mean, they feel like if we didn't have the news that they were going to be, I don't know if replace is quite the word yet, augmented for sure by Photos app in early 2015, we'd think, wow, this is really nice. These look great and they're running well. And I would say that Aperture running on a fairly modern machine, let's say 2012 or newer, with Yosemite, and same with iPhoto, is a very pleasurable experience, very nice. So if you use either one of those apps, you know, run those updates, get the compatible versions, and play around with them, and I think you'll see that it's pretty nice. And this goes back to what I was talking about in the weekly update with Aperture running so well on Yosemite on my laptop. Why would I go through the pain and agony of trying to move everything over to Lightroom right now, especially those of us that have these large libraries? So I'm just cruising right now. I'm dying to see what they do with Photos app. But right now, Aperture and iPhoto, very nice on Yosemite. And, you know, just keep on trucking. The Photos.app will be coming in early 2015. And there, I think we're going to really see the next generation of photo management software from Apple. And there's a few things to anticipate as we're thinking about this. And we sort of see little clues right now. But you know we're going to see better integration with iCloud Drive with Photos.app. They didn't do the full-on thing with the updates to Aperture and iPhoto. I'm sure because they're going, why should we? Photos.app is the one that we're building from the ground up to integrate with Yosemite and iOS. So we're definitely going to see some stuff there. I think the big question is going to be how much of Aperture's functionality is going to move into Photos.app. And that, you know, I'm not even sure right now, and I don't know at all. This is purely conjecture on my part, but I'm not even sure Apple knows how much they're going to be able to move over. That could be, that could be a moving target at the moment. But, you know, we'll find out when we find out for sure. And it's going to be exciting either way. But the way that Aperture's behaving in Yosemite, these additions with the cloud sharing and so forth, and then the opportunity to have photo extensions in the Photos app, which we're getting to play with now in iOS, with the Photos app in iOS. And I've been using the photo extensions. I'm using the develop module, essentially, from Camera Plus in Photos on my iPad. And it's really cool. It's really nice. So just imagine having functionality like that on your Mac. So it's going to be very interesting. So there's no really like really big things right now on this Yosemite update for photographers. There's a lot of little stuff that points to the future. I did go through the preview app. I went through, you know, Aperture. I went through iPhoto. I experimented with a lot of things, tried to do some workarounds with iCloud Drive. You know, all that, did a lot of digging, but I think essentially right now it's pretty much as I've described. Overall, I'll tell you, if you have an updated, if you use a Mac and you have, especially if you have like a 2011, 2012, 2013 or 14 machine, I would update it. You know, this Yosemite, I have not seen any hiccups yet, and it's absolutely beautiful. Story number three, fall color in the Eastern Sierra. Boy, I spent some lovely days last week over in the Bridgeport, Lee Vining, June Lake area. I went out to Bodie, of course, to do some scouting. I found an amazing place, just a perfect fit, I think, for us to have the workshop. A place in Bridgeport called the Silver Maple. I think they call it Silver Maple Inn, but it's interesting. It has this sort of motel set up for the rooms, and the rooms are quite nice, but they're also older, so you get that little bit of frozen in time feel. And then they have something called Kane House, which sits right in the middle of the property, and that's a house that's been there since the late 1800s. They actually sort of built the motel around it. And that's where we can have our workshop. It's going to be cool because what they do is they use that, the front part of Kane House, in the morning for people to come in and have their breakfast, have their coffee, have their tea, all that. They do have seven rooms in the back, but the front area is accessible by everyone. That morning service ends at 10 a.m. And then after that, they're not using this wonderful area at all. And I'm talking about nice tables with tablecloths. I'm talking about a fireplace. I'm talking about comfortable couches and so forth, all set, you know, in this kind of late 1800s decor. Really fabulous. So when I was talking to the manager there, he said, well, I don't see why not. That, you know, why you can't have it after 10 a.m. for the workshop, and we'll even kind of help you rearrange it a bit. We'll make sure that there's coffee and tea and water service and all that kind of stuff. So that'll work out really well for us because, you know, we'll be out shooting in the morning. We'll come back and then we're going to have this lovely space for us to work in the middle part of the day. And, you know, there's lots to shoot right there in Bridgeport too. So if you don't want to be at your computer during lab hours, you can just walk out the front door and go shooting. And then, you know, we'll probably go out again in the late afternoon. So I'm really excited about, we're still working out the details, but it's going to be pretty cool. So once I got that done, then I was a free man to go shoot. I sort of got all my business taken care of on the first day. I wasn't making snap decisions, but I was motivated. And I did turn down the first two places I thought I was going to like. So the second day I took off and I just went shooting. And I had been keeping my eyes open for where the color is. Because you know how it is. The color comes and goes, builds up, and then it's gone. And there had actually been, on the first night I was there, a really high wind. And it did, you know, clean off some of the aspens right there in Bridgeport. So I thought, well, I'll go a little further south, down 395. And I went down to the June Lake Loop. And I was pretty encouraged because as I went up over Conway Pass and was heading down, down in that valley when you go over Conway Pass, there's a really nice area of aspens down there. A lot of times they'll give you a nice indicator what's to come when you get down to the June Lake Loop, Grant Lake, and all of that. And they were in pretty good shape still. So I was going, all right. So I get to June Lake Loop, and I went hiking at Grant Lake and went down to Silver Lake and Gull Lake and all of that. And it was beautiful. The weather had changed. The wind had died down. It was this beautiful day, probably in the mid-60s. Sun was shining, able to get backlighting on all the fall color. You know, I backpacked my lunch, and I took the Olympus OMD EM10, the 12 to 50 millimeter lens, the 17 millimeter prime, the f1.8, and the fisheye. And, you know, that's all I pretty much needed. And put it all in my Low Pro Photo Hatchback 16L along with my lunch and my hiking gear, and just took off. and just had a great day. I saw some people, but you know, when you're off the highways and you're hiking, you know, I hardly saw anyone at all. And it was super. I got a lot of really nice photos. I published an article on CT Digital Photography. So I published some shots there. I put some shots on Instagram and just had a great time. So then I didn't want to come back after that. But of course, you know, I had to come back and, you know, back to the office and studio. Now, you know, one other thing I wanted to talk about on that trip was I didn't take anything in terms of a laptop. So I just took my iPad mini and I took the Western Digital, my passport, 1 terabyte wireless drive. And then, of course, the cameras that I mentioned. And so I did all my processing. Actually, I was using Snapseed. I was in a Snapseed mode. So I was using Snapseed. I was doing a backup to the drive. I had access to my other files on the drive. And I have to tell you, the whole thing just worked really nicely. Editing on the iPad, using the 1 terabyte wireless drive, I was just super happy. I did not miss the laptop at all on that trip. Then, you know, when I got home, I loaded everything into Aperture on my computer and all that. But the images that I edited and published while I was on the road with the iPad mini, I thought they looked, you know, really nice. And I was not wanting for really much in the way of technology. I had just about everything I need. So it was a terrific trip. And just a few tips on fall color. One is, don't get heavy-handed with a polarizer. Everything is pretty saturated already, and you don't want to get those uneven blues in the sky. But do bring a polarizer and a neutral density filter, because if you're shooting around water, you might want those long exposures, and the density of those filters will help give you those longer exposures. Just bring what you need. You don't need to bring your whole kit. I brought 4 lenses, and one of them was a fisheye, and I was really fine. Travel light. Make sure you bring good personal items as well as your camera gear, because you're in altitude, so you got to drink water, you got to eat food, you got to protect yourself from the sun and the wind a bit. You got to make sure you don't get too cold, all those sort of things. Take good care of yourself and do it. Just go out and do this. I'll tell you, get out of the office every now and then. It'll totally recharge your batteries. I'm running a little long today, but I do want to talk about the Hasselnuts iPhone adapter for older Hasselblads. I know not everyone has an old Hasselblad stashed away in the closet. I happen to have a 500C from the old days where I needed it for the work I was doing. And I hadn't been using it much, and I read about these guys who created, it looks just like a film back for the Hasselblad, but it allows you to put an iPhone, has a slot for an iPhone. And they did a lot of work on this to make it look nice, and they really worked on the, you know, the optics. There's a Fresnel lens that transfers the image to the iPhone. And so I went shooting with this thing around Bridgeport, and it was really fun. First of all, you get the Hasselblad experience. So you're winding the crank, you're hand focusing, you're doing all that stuff. And they have a accompanying iPhone app. When the shutter trips on the Hasselblad, the app senses that, and then it trips the shutter. It synchronizes. And you can adjust the synchronization if you have to. But essentially, you're just shooting as you normally would with the Hasselblad, and the iPhone is recording the images. Now, the images, I say they look half Holga and half Polaroid transfer. They have a very distinctive look. They're artsy. They're not the super high resolution. You know, basically when you're shooting square format with the iPhone, I was using the 4S, you're getting a 6-megapixel image on a small sensor, going through this kind of this light transfer process that the Hasselnuts people design. So you end up getting something that is very unique and sort of artsy looking, has grain. But boy, I tell you, in the right circumstances, it's pretty neat. I don't think they have it. I got it through a Kickstarter program. I'll have the link in the show notes so you can go check it out. I hear that they're going to have full production ready to go here pretty soon. I think they're still fulfilling the Kickstarter orders. When it comes out, I think it's going to be around $300. I paid $199 for the one that I'm using. But if you have an old Hasselblad and you're not using it, and you would like to at least experience shooting with it and maybe create some unique images, click on the link and take a look at it. It's a pretty trippy item. I was wondering if I should have spent the money or not while I was waiting for it, but now that I have it, I'm really glad I do. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. The photo assignment for October is water. Water. Looking forward to that. Boy, I was around a lot of water. I might enter it myself. And let's see. Oh, I want to talk about Red River. They have a new paper. And this stock looks great. It's called 66-pound Palo Duro Satin. And it features a subtle surface texture and an elegant warm tone. Because it contains minimal optical brighteners in the base stock and none in the coating, the warmth of this product is great for portraits, naturescapes, and black and white prints with just a hint of sepia. If you want that Fine Art ProLab photo finisher look, check out the stock. And first of all, I love satin finishes. I think they're really nice to give you a little pop, but yet, you know, they're not super reflective like glossy. And then, you know, just having this, as they describe it anyway, the coloring of it, where it's just slightly warm, has a lot of depth, and it looks like it comes out of a photo lab. I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to try it. It's available right now on the Red River site. It's a 66-pound Palo Duro Satin, P-A-L-O, as in Palo Alto, Palo Duro Satin. And you can get to it by going to Red River Paper. There's a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and it'll take you right over there, and you can check it out. And then I have a link directly to this paper stock in the show notes. So you can just go to show notes, click on the link, and it'll take you right to the catalog page. And then our good friends over at Sizzlepix, they have some news also. This is a very newsy week. So a note from them. So they've ramped up their capacity. What they're ready to do is handle the volume for the holidays. To encourage you, they have a special for our listeners, a 20% discount on all Sizzlepix ordered. So they're ready for your orders, is basically. Operators are standing by, as we say. For orders placed by October 31, there should still be time for the free mini samples prior to production. So if you want to see a little mini sample of your image before they do the whole big thing, it doesn't cost you anything, then all you have to do is in the comments area, when you place your order, is put free proof first, and your mailing address. That'll get you the mini sample, and then put TDS 20% discount in there, and then that'll give you the 20% discount on the big image if you approve the proof. How can you miss, right? And then on top of this, you have one of the most amazing gifts that you could give someone. It's the double whammy, as I call it. It's an image that has meaning to the recipient, and it's a Sizzlepix, which they've probably never, ever seen before. Sizzlepix.com, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. So I think that's going to do it for this week. Sorry I ran a little bit long, but there was so much to talk about. I just couldn't resist putting all those stories in. Boy, there's more going on for next week. Come back. I'm going to do the workshop this coming weekend. So we're doing the fall color workshop. It starts on Friday night. Wow. You know, just one thing after another. Then I go to Photo Plus after that. Lots to talk about. Come back. Hang tight with me. as we get through this busy period. And I promise I'll keep you informed on what's happening in the wonderful world of photography. Until next time, bye-bye now.